I did begin to read some scripture in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 5. And that's where I will take a scripture reading this morning. The title of the lesson is When God Moves. I think we all know as you're turning to 2 Samuel chapter 5, powerful things happen when God moves. Sadly, there's a world out there that doesn't know about the movement of God, but I pray that they would soon. If you all were part of an orchestra, and I was the conductor, and you came in and sat down, you had your sheet music, you had your instrument, what would it be like if you all just came in and at your own timing, your own wishes, your own ways, just pick your instrument up, looked at your sheet music, and just started playing? I think we all know the chaos that would evolve from that. The idea this morning I want us to see is that it is imperative that we wait on God to move. Amen. An orchestra never starts without the conductor. Never should we move without the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Aren't you glad that He does move?
Amen.
Here in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 5, David had just ascended to the throne of Israel. The enemy had fought that with new authority, there was a weakness. How many of you think today that the devil is always looking for our weakness? Oh, he is. And he wants to exploit those things. But you know what? God knows our weaknesses too, and he can help us to overcome those. David had just won a battle in about the 20th verse. God had given him a victory. But I want to read, if you will, beginning in verse 23. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, "Thou shalt not go up." In other words, you need to wait till the timing's right. "But fetch a compass behind them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees and let it be." He said, when you're in the place that I tell you to be, listen to what he told him. "And when thou hearest the sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then, and only then," he said, "then shalt thou bestir thyself. For then shall the Lord go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines." We know the Philistines, a mighty military army. Folks, it's an army stronger than us, but may we not mince words. It's never an army stronger than God.
Amen.
And that is who, when he calls the sound of a going, he said, David heard the marching of soldiers. How many of you today are thankful that in life, that somewhere along the way, that when there's a battle that's ahead, that God will allow us to hear the footsteps of soldiers, knowing we're not in a battle alone?
Amen.
I don't know about your battles, but sometimes the battles, I'd rephrase that, a lot of times or every time, the battles are greater than us, but they're not greater than God.
Amen.
He said, when you hear the sound, he said, "For thou shalt bestir thyself, for then the Lord shall go up before thee and smite the host of the Philistines." And I love the 25th verse. "And David did so."
Amen.
And David did so. Why is it that it's not that simple in Scott's life? I don't know. You would think that all God has to do is to move and we would follow. I don't know how stubborn you are, but I get pretty stubborn sometimes. But I'll tell you this, I thank God that when we go, when he says to go, that the victory has already been won.
Amen.
We're going to talk about some of these things here in just a little bit. But David, we see in these verses, instead of just reacting impulsively, he said, "I want to be sure that God is in this." Folks, this morning, there's nothing wrong with us wanting to be sure that God's in something.
Amen.
But I don't know how many of you are like me, that when you know God's in it, you try to act like that you just not for sure yet. I'll tell you this, folks, God can give you assurance. He's not the author of confusion. He wants you to know, and I'll tell you this, once God begins to stir in the mulberry trees, may we be the sound, hear the sound of a going, may we too bestir ourselves that we might go into the battle for the Lord.
Amen.
Look what he said. He said, "There is a sound of going." Now, these mulberry trees, what little I was able to find out or I could read about them, it's these trees that the way their leaves are, they're real sensitive. They're real fickle just a little bit. They move a lot easier than others do. You know, we had a discussion in Bible study not long ago, and I want to ask you all this. Do you think some people are more sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God than others? Sometimes I just want to say, God, if I know it's you that's moving, why do I wait so long? Lord, and I want to be sure about so many things, but these mulberry trees that when they begin to be, one, subjective to the moving of the wind that's there, it's a presence of God. I love when the scriptures teach us that the Spirit is like the wind that blows us where it listeth. You can't see the presence of God in our life, but you'll agree with me when I say this. You sure can feel it, can't you?
Amen.
Could you imagine what David was like? He had won a battle. He got to a place that he was about to go to battle again. And he began to say, God, he said, what do you have me to do?
Yes.
You know what I found out interesting? I don't know if you all have experienced this. But if something happened and it worked one time, we think it's automatically going to work the same way again. Do you know that David won these battles and there was two different tactics? Can I tell you this, folks, just what something worked yesterday doesn't mean it's going to work today. Let me tell you what I mean. Have you ever been to one of those good services and the next night, well, let's sing that same song again.
Yeah.
Oh, let's do this again. You know, it's almost like we want to duplicate the Holy Spirit of God. You know this, folks, you can't do that.
Amen.
I'm glad today that God wins the battles, and sometimes it's different today than what it is yesterday. It's not that God, I know the Bible says us that I am God and I change not. He changes his tactics, but his end desire is so that we might win the battle. That does not change. David began to be moved. And listen to what he said. Let it be when thou hearest the sound. When thou hearest the sound. Waiting on God to move in your life. Let me read to you, if I may, in the book of Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, let me read to you if I may just for a moment. Skipping on down to the 21st verse. David just didn't want to rush into action. He wanted to wait on God. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying. Folks, I thank God today that still small voice is inescapable, isn't it? But listen to what Isaiah said. He said that, in thine ears shall hear a word. God was rebuking them because of what they did in the first verse, if you want to read that. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. They don't move when I tell them to move. They're not seeking me. They take counsel, but not of me. That cover with the covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. They put their trust in Egypt. That walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Now, if you'll notice, they had got to a point where they didn't want to wait on the moving of God. By the way, I'm not going to ask you how many of you have ever done that yourself. But folks, sometimes we get a little impatient with God, don't we? We want to take off. But I want you to listen to that 21st verse that it said, "In thine ears shall hear a word behind thee." Preacher, you're talking about how God's going to go out in front of the battle. Don't miss the point of Isaiah. Isaiah said that there's a voice that's behind us. How many of you believe that there is a presence of one that you cannot see, but one that you can hear? Folks, I believe that God, he's not in the earthquakes and all these other things, but he's that still small voice. Maybe you're here today and God's been speaking to you in that still small voice. He's behind you. You know what he's trying to tell you to do? When God begins to move, there's a battle. There's a victory that is ahead that God desires that we might be able to claim. And that's why when Isaiah said, "In thine ears shall hear the word, hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it." I'm thankful today that God is able to move in our lives, that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's God and that God is in these things. How many of you remember a time in your life when God began to call you into a battle? And when God began to call you into battle, you thought, Lord, what's traditional means? What's traditional artillery that a person might have? You know what I love about God? He doesn't always work in the most logical way, does he? Anybody else ever got to a point saying, God, what are you doing? And I don't mean that bad in a slanderous way, but folks, there's a lot of things that just don't make sense to me. But you know, when it comes to God, it don't have to make sense. His ways are far above our ways. It's all about trust.
Amen.
When David heard that mulberry tree and those leaves begin to shake, he said, okay, it's time to go to battle. Brethren, today I kept trying to go to other verses and I kept going to other places, and God just kept bringing me right back here. And my heart to you today is, no matter what battle it is that's ahead of you, God desires to go with you. God desires to give you the victory over what it is that's ahead. And God wants us to be able to be victorious in the things that he has before us. You know, I think all of us can agree. I would much rather go and say, God, let's just avoid the battles if we can. You just go out and win. But you know what? God, and we're going to read some of this in the lesson just a little bit, that there's times in our life that God's not going to say, I'm just going to win the battle for you. He is. But folks, he wants to go with us in the battle. He wants us to do these things. And I want you to read if you can. I want to kind of hurry along right quick. But in the book of Judges chapter 14, we read about a man by the name of Samson that had a pretty mighty encounter, that there was a battle that we're going to read about. There's a young lion found in the fifth verse. I want you right now, in the very calmness of your own soul, to ask yourself, how many times in your life have you been going along and all of a sudden the lion begins to roar? You know what happens? Maybe y'all are different than I am, but I start getting afraid. I know that there's times in my life when I've been fearful, and I've had to hear Christ himself say, fear not. There's been times in my life when he said, even though the lion roars, he said, I'm not going to remove you from the lion. He said, how about I give you the victory over the lion? Listen to what we read in the 14th chapter, in that fifth verse. It says, and behold, a young lion roared against him. When God moves, there's a battle. Every one of us have a testimony, and I mean multiple testimonies about times in our life when the lion begins to roar. But I don't forget about the sixth verse. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. How many of you this morning know what it's like to have the mighty presence of God? Oh, what a wonderful feeling it is that when the lion roars, that we're not looking around saying, well, I'm supper tonight. You know what God said? There was a moving that was there. And this moving, look what happened here, that all of a sudden that there was a moving of the presence of God. And he says, and he rent him. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was to come in contact with a lion, if I could kick him real good or elusive and just kind of knock him down, I would be fine with that. But rent means to be torn, which means it was not even close, folks. When Samson got a hold of that lion, he completely defeated the lion. Something I want to mention now, and we'll get into this a little bit more. You know, sometimes we feel like that when it comes to God and winning and overcoming, we think it's just barely. Folks, we're going to find out when it comes to God, it's not even close, is it? Not even close. What God could do for me and what he's done for you. But notice what Samson did. It said that he began to slay the lion. And if you read this account a little bit later on, that when he came back, I believe his parents were with him. And you know what happened? The carcass of the lion was still there. I think all of us have our testimonies of things that have happened in the past. And when he got to that lion, you know what I love about that next encounter? When he got to the lion, you know what was there? Oh, it was honey. It was honey that was there. And you know what? He said, in a place that should have been defeat, he found victory. How many of you have got a testimony in your life where you should have been absolutely annihilated by the lion, but God gave you the victory? I can tell you, March the 18th, 1995, just a little over 30 years ago, the greatest thing in my life when God saved my soul, folks, that's a victory over death, hell, and the grave. And I want to go ahead and say this, folks, that victory is not because of me, but it's 100% because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But can you imagine here that Samson, as he began to slay the lion, that he would go back later and he would find honey in the carcass of a lion, something that was sweet, something that was nourishing, and he found strength in that. Folks, may God take our victories and remind us that he saw us through it, that God has delivered us from it. I thought of some verses in the book of Psalms chapter 19. More to be desired are they than gold. This is Psalm 19 and 10. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey, and the honeycomb. You know what, folks? I thank God today that when he speaks to us, that even though there's a lion that's in the way, that God said, I will give you victory over the lion. We play this game a lot of times as children. Y'all probably have heard of this. It's called Simon Says. We know, very elementary speaking, that all you have to do is, unless Simon says to do it, you don't do it, do you? Let me read to you a verse, if I can, in the book of Numbers, chapter 9, in verse 23. At the commandment of the Lord. Folks, today we're not playing a game of Simon Says. I don't want to confuse that. But I'll tell you this, folks, when God says go, it's time to go, doesn't it? Notice what happened here in the book of Numbers, chapter 9, and verse 23. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in the tents. At the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. Do you notice what's going on? When the commandment of the Lord, the Lord says stay, you're going to stay. Lord says go, it's time to go. At the commandment of the Lord, he says, and they kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. I thank God today that much like what Moses was saying is that when God moves, it's time to move. On their way to Canaan's land, they knew that they needed the leadership of God. Folks, for you and I today on our way to that eternal Canaan's land, you might even say, folks, aren't you glad today to know that when God moves, it's our responsibility and our pleasure to be able to follow after him. Why? Much like the rustling of the leaves that he bestirred himself, David did, and he went into battle and God gave him the victory. And the reason God gave him the victory was because he became obedient. But listen to what we read in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 24. And when thou hearest the sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees. I'm thankful today that David knew that he was not alone. Amen. For you that are laboring in the mission field, pastoring churches, the work's all around us. Aren't you glad today to know that we're not alone? Amen. John chapter 14. I want to turn over and spend just a few moments in John chapter 14. Parakletos. The Greek word that just simply means an advocate. A helper. A comforter. And a counselor. Parakletos. Jesus knew that his time was about to leave. And he tells them in John chapter 14. And in John chapter 14, he talks about that if he is leaving, that he is going to send them another comforter. That's with a capital C, meaning it's talking about someone, not something. Folks, the Holy Spirit of God is indeed a person. Amen. Aren't you glad today to know that we're not on this journey by ourselves? How many of us, as we go into the battle, whether we're slaying the lions or we're going to fight against the Philistines, aren't you thankful today that God said, I'm there to be with you? Verse 16 of John chapter 14 said this, and I will pray the Father should give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Skip down, now that we know who that comforter is, look at the 26th verse. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. But the comforter, Parakletos, means one that's called alongside to be with you. Folks, today, I thank God that I know that if you're here and you're saved, and if you're here and God has called you to a labor, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt today that the person that you need in your journey is not the person sitting in the pew. And there's some wonderful people sitting beside you. But I wouldn't trade that for the Holy Spirit of God for anything. Parakletos. Think about one called alongside. In Matthew 11, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know what a yoke is? It's what they would take two of the oxen and they would have to plow, and they would plow together in harmony. Amen. Yeah. I don't want to take anything away from you all. One of the greatest things this week is being around the godly men that I get to be around. Oh, but when those yokes come together and there's one on one side, I'm glad to know that Jesus said, you're about to go on a journey through this life and I'm going to be right there with you. Oh, can two be in harmony except they be agreed? You know, the Bible teaches us that three chords and how much stronger that they are. You know what? Some people think, and I don't want to go on a tangent, but some people think that this idea that when you get married, that it's just husband and wife. Folks, the Bible said the husband and wife are together as one. There's still room for Jesus in there. Amen. Every husband and wife needs to realize that their marriage needs Jesus in it. Every one of us and our labors and our battles that we have, it is absolutely imperative that we have Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden. How many of you this morning want to say, God, I don't have the energy for this battle anymore. God, I don't want to fight the lions. I don't want to fight the Philistines. They're bigger than I am. They're stronger than I am. I have fought these giants earlier in my life. I know what the battles that are there. How many of us want to say, God, I can't do this anymore? You know what God said? Come on, let's go through this journey together. Well, sometimes I just want to say, God, can you just go and fight this battle for me? He said, no. He said, I'm going to bring you to it and I'm going to see you through it. And you know what, folks, I believe in the very presence of God. Listen to what Jesus teaches. He said, take my yoke upon you. He said, you know, all these burdens that you think that you carry, he said, I'm going to help you carry them. I'm going to help you carry the load. Now they're going to go from a God that was there with them, being in the form of Christ, to a God that is in them. Aren't you glad today to know, again, it's not who's sitting beside you that's important. It's who's in you that's the most important. Who dwells inside of us? We know that's the Holy Spirit of God. Well, notice what he said. I'm kind of bouncing around that 14th chapter. Notice what he said in the second verse. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. Or I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus goes into heaven. And he's doing something for us. Skip down just a little bit more of that 23rd verse, though. What's the Holy Spirit coming down to the earth and doing? If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And he will come unto him and make our abode with him. You know what, folks? I find it amazing that Jesus is working in heaven for us and the Holy Spirit is working heaven inside of us right now. Folks, let me just say that a little bit different. Aren't you glad today that we can have heavenly experiences here on this earth? Amen. It's exactly what it is when we get saved, that we have these heavenly experiences right here on this earth. And he talks about how that there's a working that's going to happen in the hearts of people. And that the people were going to have to realize is that what he is doing inside of them, he was going to give them a deeper, more intimate knowledge of him. You know, Jesus, the one thing about him is that physically speaking, he can only be in one place. But he said, it's necessary that if I go away, I send you another comforter. Now, the transliterated word another, we think like it means a replacement. It's not. It means one like the other. Folks, the Holy Spirit of God is part of the Trinity. They're all equal in power. You know, we think God is above all, but that there's equal power in these things. But I want you to notice what happens is that when Jesus begins to talk about how that he's working in the hearts of people and the Holy Spirit's working in the hearts of people and he's working about building us a place in heaven, that we realize is that there is a great movement of God in the hearts of men because he wants us to yoke up with him so that we might go to battle. And this morning, my prayer is that you might be in harmony with the Holy Spirit of God, doing what God bids you to do. For let me read you, if I may, in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. And in verse 1 said, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." But here's the good part. If I tell you, just don't sin, good, just don't sin. But what happens when you do? We're in trouble, aren't we? Bible says that when you do, if any man sin, we have an parakletos. You know what a parakletos is? It's an advocate. By the way, that just means it is a legal term. Folks, what God is doing is going to withstand judgment. Amen. It's going to stand. You know, there's a lot of people doing things kind of shady, I guess. I don't know if that's a good word to use, but it's kind of shady. But it's not legal. It's not authentic. Folks, today, the work the Holy Spirit does is real. Amen. It has a seal of approval on it, doesn't it? We are sealed. But we see here, he said, if you sin, he said, we have an advocate. We have one that's going to be there with us. But I want to hurry along, if I may. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 24 says, "Then thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee." David knew that there was urgency in the hour, and time could not be wasted. It was time to move. He waited, but then he went. I want to read to you, if I can, in the book of Judges for just a minute. Chapter 7. I want to talk about Gideon and his army for just a minute. 30,000 people responded to the call to go into battle. But you know what? You got 30,000 people, you're going to think, look what I've done. We win the battle because we just outnumbered them. Folks, God's going to dwindle the army down to 300 people. You know why God dwindles the army down to 300 people? Because he wanted there to be no doubt that their victory is not because of what they've done, but it's because of him. How many of you got a testimony in your life where God, you think that he's trying to strip things away from you and he's trying to abandon you? What God's doing is he is bringing us to a place that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that our victory is because of him. Amen. Let's read it for just a minute. Judges chapter 7 and in verse 9. "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise and get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand." Well, God wanted them to be victorious, but he also wanted them to lean and depend upon him. Let me read a little bit more. He said, "For I have delivered it into thine hand." God said, "I have something for you." He said, "But you've got to go out and take it. The victory's yours, but you've got to go out and take it." Well, skip down to about the 13th verse, and he says, "And a man that told a dream, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of bakery bread tumbled in the host of Midian, and it came into a tent and smote it, and it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along." What he's saying is, God is going to give them a victory that doesn't seem like it's the most logical thing, he said, but God's going to do it. And I want to get into he tells them that they're going to use this chant or this cry, and he said, they're going to go out and they're going to cry the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So according to verse 16, they would take the trumpets. Now the trumpets are around a ram's horn or something that you would signal that there's a battle. You know what, folks? Sometimes the ram's horn will sound, and then we have to realize there's a battle that we have been called to. And sometimes when that ram's horn sounds, I have to admit there's times I've ran the other way. But God said, you don't run from me. You don't run from the battle, much like it was with David, that we must go to him. He said in verse 17, and as I do, you shall do when I blow the trumpet. He said, then blow ye the trumpets and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You know what's interesting there? Gideon's army didn't have swords, but they sure had the promises and the words of God, didn't they? How many of you believe that the word of God is powerful in the battle? You know, when the Bible teaches us that the word of the Lord is sharper than a two-edged sword, two-edged just means it cuts on the top and the bottom. Folks, today, it'll do its maximum damage. Folks, today, the word of God can do things that nothing else can do. And it gives us the battle over things that that we're able to overcome. Psalm 27 and verse 14, I got to hurry, he said, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen that heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. We got to wait on the Lord that he might give us what it is that we stand in need of so that we might be victorious. But I want to go back to just for a moment in our text. 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 24, for then shall the Lord go out before thee. God calls, David goes, and he said, to smite the host of the Philistines. There's a little word that I want to look at in the Greek Testament for just a moment. Nikao. I'll spell that for you. N-I-K-A-O. Now, Nikao just simply means victor, triumph. Now, if I was to tell you N-I-K-E, you know what your mind's going to go to? A little swoosh. It's a marketing scheme. I'm going to say scheme. It's just a marketing strategy. So you got the Greek goddess, Nike. Nike is the Greek goddess that means the goddess of victory. Now, obviously, we do not believe in any kind of idol worship. But isn't that kind of a shameful situation that the world gets into, that there is a Greek goddess that would give them the victory? I hope you can sing with me, folks. There is victory not in the Greek goddess, Nike. There's victory in Jesus.
Amen.
Well, Nike comes along and they just come up with this idea. You use our equipment. You wear my gear. You'll be victorious. I don't know that that's actually going to be true, but I believe that we'll be victorious in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Can I read you a verse in the book of Revelation, chapter 7? The Greek goddess, Nike, if you ever notice, she wears this wreath as a crown. She has palms in her hand. The one that gives me the victory, he's not wearing a wreath, but he's wearing a crown of thorns. The palms in his hand. When Jesus went in his triumphant entry, you know what they did? They waving the palms and they threw them at the feet. Why? Because there was victory in Jesus.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, it says, in this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. They stood before the throne. They wasn't robed in a Nike swoosh emblem that they were victorious. They wasn't robed in something that apparel of something you might get at a store. But look what happened. It said, clothed with the white robes. Today, folks, the righteousness is not in us, but the righteousness comes from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We see that not only did they have these white robes, but they had palms in their hands. I'm thankful today that God today gives us a place and a time in our life where we can be victorious in the battles that are ahead for us. Read to you, I want to hurry through this. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 10, it said, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Why? For he hath clothed me. That's what happened to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. You know what? They tried to clothe themselves with the fig leaves. He said, no, if you're going to clothe yourself, it has to be of a sacrifice. Amen. Folks, today, if we're going to be clothed, it has to be in the sacrifice that God made, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what we're clothed in. And you know, a lot of people are putting a lot of confidence in what they do, folks. We win the battle not because of us, but because of Jesus.
Amen.
So when the mulberry trees begin to, the leaves begin to move, it just means there's a sound of the army that's marching. Oh, folks, today I'm glad that we've got an army with us, don't you?
Amen.
It's an army that's going to win the battle. And I thank God today that he's going to give us a victory. He said, for he has clothed us with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh herself with ornaments, and as a bride adoreth herself with her jewels. Aren't you glad today that what, even though we don't have it, God said, I'll give you what you need. You don't have it, but I will give you what you need. Whatever battle you have, I know this, folks, God will give you exactly what you need. Amen. He'll provide exactly what you stand in need of. For I want to read you Romans chapter 8. And in the 37th verse. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. The word nikeo comes in again. It's a different form of N-I-K-E-O-S. But Nikeo comes in and it said, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Now, in the Greek, hyper just means over, beyond, exceeds what you ever imagined. In the 2024 Olympics, there was an American, a Jamaican, that was at the very end, had a photo finish. 100 meters, I believe it was. You know how close it was? The timing of it was 0.005. That's what separated them. But the American won the gold, the Jamaican won silver. But it was really close, and they had to go through all this figuring out, well, who won, and let's evaluate it. Let's the 40,000 frames per second, whatever they would do, they would really dial in and say, let's see who won. For those of us that are saved, we're not just winning, folks. It's not even close. Amen. When we get into heaven, and sometimes we say, boy, I just barely got there. Well, folks, we're going to be victorious, and I mean, it's not even going to be close. Amen. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did. Amen. We see here that, that Paul said that in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And we find it again, the same word, 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be unto God who gives us the victory, not in a Greek goddess that we have. He said, but there is victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is absolutely something that God wants to say. He said, you're not just going to win this battle. He said, you're going to win, and you're going to win it big. I love last night when we get to hear the missions, and I love to hear the testimonies of people say, you know what? There was a battle, but God gave me the victory, and it wasn't even close. Folks, how many more things would our, how much better would our life be if we would just surrender these things to God so that we might be able to let him give us the victory that he desires to give us? And I believe indeed that God will do that just for us. In the book of Joshua, chapter 6, forgive me, I'm trying to hurry and I'll finish in a minute. Talk about how close this battle is, or how close we are to winning, or is it neck and neck? You know what happened when Joshua, when they marched around the city? Let me read to you what we read in the 21st verse. Harum. That's what the Hebrew word means, harum. But the word is, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. Amen. How many of you have a testimony, you have an experience somewhere along the way, multiple experiences, where God just didn't let you squeak out a win? It wasn't even close, was it? I'm amazed at all the things that God has done in the lives of so many people, and that God desires to win the battles in our life. But for all of us today, sometimes, let's go back to that line that comes up. Sometimes we want to make out like there's a line in the way and we can't go. Matter of fact, if you want to read Proverbs 26 and 13, the slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way, a lion in the streets. In other words, they're imagining something that may not be there. I'm going to say this carefully, and I don't mean this in a bad way. You know who our own worst enemies are? Myself. I don't know why, but I can talk myself out about anything. But you know what? I just keep thinking, Lord, If you're tugging, what else do I need? If you're, my heart's just a pounding and you're moving and you're telling me to go into battle and it's different than what I've done before, that's okay if it's different, folks. Aren't you glad today that God's saying, why don't you go? Why don't you move and do what he would have you to do? God wants us to do that. God wants us to go so that we too might be like Joshua, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city. And he talks about men and women and all the animals. He said God was able to give complete destruction over the enemy. Folks, today, when you read about whether it's David versus Goliath, you know what? It would be one thing if we said, well, David just, he slung a stone and he knocked him out cold. The Bible says it sunk in his forehead, which means there was no doubt in the victory. There's no doubt when there's honey in the line. How many of you have those experiences where there is no doubt God was in it? If you've been saved, every one of us ought to say, I know at least once in my life. And as Brother Casey mentioned, if you've been called to preach, you'll also say beyond absolute certainty that God was in it.
Amen.
I didn't choose. I didn't just say, God, I think I'm going to, you know what? God began to call me. I got saved March the 18th. That night on the front porch, God began to call me to preach. That's a whole other story. But I thought, Lord, have mercy. What do you want me to do? It wasn't like it was just this thunder that said, go preach. But you know what it was? It was just a desire to go tell people about Jesus. Amen. Little did I know, you're going to meet some opposition when you do that.
Amen.
People don't want to hear about Jesus. They want to hear about themselves. I'll tell you this, folks. May we lay aside the theories and the life of any person and say it's all about Jesus.
Amen.
For that's who it's all about. We see here that Proverbs said that a slothful man saith there is a lion in the way. There is a lion in the streets. Sometimes we think that the roar of a lion scares us away. I read something not long ago that really has stuck with me. It said kings hunt lions for trophies. Shepherds hunt them for protection. How many lions has God slain in our lives, not just to show off who he is? We already know that, don't we? But he's protecting us and giving us the victory, right? That God has given us exactly what we stand in need of, and God is providing the very victory. And that's why when God began to move with David, and he said, and let it be so when thou hearest the sound of going in the top of the mulberry trees, then thou shalt bestir thyself. Folks, when God moves, sometimes we're afraid of maybe what's ahead of us in the battle that's there. If you remember when Daniel was in the lion's den, there was a decree. If you remember, the decree was that if anybody, let's back up. When Daniel was praying to God, King Darius made a decree that anybody within 30 days that prays to anybody else, he said, there's a punishment that comes. Well, he didn't, I don't want to say unbeknownst to him. It's kind of a trickery. You know how that account goes. But here's what I want us to notice. King Darius could not remove the judgment that was going to happen to Daniel. But you know what God could do? God could deliver him from it. You know, sometimes I think we get to this idea that we want to be removed from so many circumstances and situations, but really it's God just saying, I want to help you through it. I'm going to close in just a minute, and I may be the only person that leaves with probably about a minute left on that clock. But I want you to know something today, that for all of you that are here and God's moving, maybe God's calling you into a field you've never been before. Maybe God's calling you to pastor somewhere you've never pastored before. Maybe God is leading you to a place you've never been before. I don't know. Maybe it's down the road. I don't have a clue. I'm not into looking in your heart. That's God's business. But what I want you to know is this. David's victory did not become because he was a smart man. David's victory did not come because he had a great military tactic. David's victory became because he waited on God to move.
Amen.
A lot of our victories that we have, all of our victories we have, is because of the moving of God.
Amen.
When those mulberry trees begin to flicker, there was no doubt that David said, God, that's what that means. It means I hear the sound of soldiers coming to my aid.
Amen.
And I want you to notice something about David. That there's going to be times in our life that we're going to be like David, that the enemy surrounds us. Do you remember the psalm where David said, he said the enemy compasses all about him? In other words, you can look left, right, up, and he said you can look left, right, north, south, east, and west. I'll get to that in a minute. He said you can look north, south, east, and west, and you see there, God said, why don't you look up? You know what, folks? The enemy may surround us, but I believe that God can always deliver us. Amen. And when David began to fight these battles, I think it's a reminder to all of us that the victory that David experienced in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 5, it was not in his strength, but it was completely in his surrender. Folks, today all I can tell you is just surrender. And God will give you the victory. God bless you. That's the scriptures I had, brother. My time is, it's red.